How two familiar brands are trying to get vaccine to the elderly and disabled. I'm David Brancaccia. Good morning. As of this morning, there have been 4.66 million coronavirus vaccine inoculations in the U.S. This according to a state-by-state tally by Bloomberg News using CDC data. At long-term care facilities, including nursing homes, CVS and Walgreens are doing the shots under government contracts. Someday, the general population can get vaccinated at local pharmacies. As part of our ongoing Fast Track series on the logistical challenges of getting the vaccine to our neighborhoods and the world, here's Marketplace's Mariel Segarra.
The federal government has approved two vaccines so far. The Moderna one can be stored in a regular freezer, but the Pfizer vaccine has to be kept at a temperature of minus 76 degrees Fahrenheit or colder, which requires a special ultra-cold freezer. Retsif Levy at the MIT Sloan School of Management says most pharmacies don't have those.
They are not very common. They're very expensive, and it's going to be unreasonable to expect that you can actually deploy them to all the stores.
He says most likely retailers will keep the Pfizer vaccines in those special freezers at central locations until they decide which stores to send them to and how many doses to send. CVS told us that's basically what it's doing right now, using about 1,100 of its stores as distribution hubs. Once vials of the Pfizer vaccine are put into regular fridges at your local pharmacy,
you have about 5 days to actually use it.
And so the retail chains will have to predict how high demand will be at each store so they don't end up wasting doses. Another challenge, the vaccines that have been approved by the federal government require two shots several weeks apart.
How do you actually make sure that everybody got two doses, right? And how do you maintain a record of that?
Because customers may eventually need to prove they were fully vaccinated to board a plane or go to a concert or even go to work. Retailers are also trying to hire tens of thousands of pharmacy workers to prepare for this moment. Robert Huckman at Harvard Business School says they'll have to decide how to describe these jobs to their new staff.
How long can they expect to remain employed? Because once we get through this initial phase of vaccination, will there be stable employment for them within our organization?
And Huckman says retailers will have to make space in their stores so people can line up safely while they wait to be vaccinated.
Our retail footprints are very, very tight. So you could imagine that in a pharmacy, thinking about where's that space for someone to wait.
On top of all that, there isn't one clear set of rules that says who should be first in line for the vaccine. The federal government gave recommendations, but it left the final decisions and the logistics up to the states. Dan Mendelson is founder of the consulting firm Avalere Health.
The fact that it is now being worked out by 50 states and additional municipalities is causing unnecessary bureaucratic friction and slowness.
He says CVS, Walgreens, and other retailers will have to keep track of all these rules, which makes the rollout even harder. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
The New York Stock Exchange has done an about-face. After an executive order from President Trump, it was fixing to kick out three big China-based telecommunications companies. But now the Stock Exchange says they can stay. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
The New York Stock Exchange issued a statement yesterday saying it made the decision not to delist the Chinese companies after consultation with, quote, the relevant regulatory authorities. So now, China Telecom, China Mobile Limited, and China Unicom will stay on the NYSE. A Chinese foreign ministry spokesperson said U.S. political forces were trying to suppress foreign companies listed on U.S. stock exchanges, adding that, quote, the status of the U.S. as an international financial center depends on the trust of global companies. The NYSE had planned to drop the Chinese companies to comply with an executive order from President Trump, which barred U.S. firms from investing in companies the Trump administration says have ties to the Chinese military. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
After the Dow fell 1.3%, 382 points yesterday, the first trading day of the new year. Right now, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are each up 0.1%. Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, is down 2.7%, but still above $31,000. As part of COVID relief from Washington, there's a 15% increase in food stamps per person through June. SNAP, the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports.
This is the second time since the pandemic began that Congress has voted to increase SNAP benefits. But the first time, the people who were most in need didn't get an increase because they were already getting the maximum benefit. Those households will get more SNAP benefits now. Adam Morgan at the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank estimates it'll be an extra $30 a month per person.
It can, you know, help a parent eat themselves while, you know, they're trying to also make sure that their kids eat.
The increase in SNAP benefits, plus an additional $300 a month in federal unemployment benefits, should help reduce food insecurity, says Stacey Dean at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities.
Evidence from the Great Recession was that increasing SNAP absolutely reduced food insecurity for the households who got the benefit.
The hunger relief organization Feeding America estimated that around 50 million people experienced food insecurity because of the pandemic last year. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
In the final days of the Trump administration here, the push to open up Arctic lands for oil drilling. Yesterday, the Bureau of Land Management released its plan for relaxed drilling standards in a 23 million acre section of Alaska. Tomorrow, there's an auction for rights to take oil in more of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Our producers are Meredith Gerritsen, Stephen Ryan, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.